We'll talk this morning about when Jesus calls our name. Yeah, I think about all through my life, people calling my name, and think about when your parents called your name. At one point it could be calm and gentle and loving, but another time it could mean something entirely different. I know in my case, when I got the Michael Allen Walters, I knew it was bad and I'd better respond quickly. But other times, it was calm, it was low. Then when we go to school, our teacher calls our names. They call on you to answer a question or to come up front. And again, there's another time when they call your name and you know you've been in trouble. And my wife also has a couple different ways of calling my name. Some kind and gentle and loving, and some I get the Michael Allen again, and I'd better respond quickly. But this morning we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the very first person that Jesus spoke to, the first person that he called their names. I'm going to look at John 21, verses 1 through 18, and I'm going to read them. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. It's always amazing to me that the very first person that Jesus spoke to on Easter morning was a common woman. You stop and think about it, we don't really know a whole lot about Mary. We know that earlier he had driven seven demons out, and in gratitude for healing her, she followed him. We also know that just hours earlier, she was at the foot of the cross when Jesus spoke to his mother and spoke to the Apostle John. She was there when his body was taken down. But in spite of the fact that she was a common woman, Jesus chose to reveal himself to her after his resurrection. See, early Sunday morning, Mary went to the tomb. The other gospel writers tell us that she had gone there with some other women to properly treat Jesus' body, to treat it with the spices that they had bought to preserve. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Mary went back to tell Peter and John, and when they returned to the tomb, they saw that Jesus' body was no longer there. The disciples went back to their homes, but Mary didn't. She stayed there weeping. She was distraught. Think about what must have been going through her mind at that time, that this man she had chosen to follow, this man that did all these miracles and professed his love for the disciples, for all mankind, was gone. First, the indignity of being hung on a cross, and then to come to the tomb and his body was gone. When Jesus spoke, she didn't recognize his voice. Maybe it was because of her sorrow, maybe because of her sobbing, but she didn't recognize. And when she turned to look, she mistaked him for the gardener. She didn't recognize his physical being either. And it's probably understandable in her grief. She didn't understand yet about the resurrection. She didn't understand that Jesus had to rise again to fulfill the prophecy. But then when he said one word, Mary, it all came through. She recognized the voice. She knew who he was and called him teacher. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive today. And what I want to talk about is when Jesus calls our name, just as he called Mary that morning. You see, first it confirms the resurrection. Just remember, 3 days before, Mary was at the foot of the cross. She had watched Jesus breathe his last. She watched the soldier pierce his side. She saw the blood rolling down. She saw the physical death of Jesus Christ. And then she suffered at the point when she went to the tomb and the tomb was empty. But then he spoke her name. The realization must have come flooding in that Jesus was alive. He spoke to her. The Bible tells us she clinged to him so much that he had to tell her not to cling, to let him go. For me, there's absolutely no doubt that the scriptures are true. There are so many historical documents that prove the fact. The love of Christ created such a loving following that all the disciples except John met a violent death. It meant so much that they would follow him. They were willing to die for him. You see, the resurrection for Jesus was an important, the most pivotal event in human history. What we believe about the resurrection will cause us to make the most crucial decision we ever make. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about the resurrection to the church at Corinth. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. If the resurrection didn't happen, it makes Jesus a liar, because Jesus spoke about resurrection many times. And if Jesus lied about the resurrection, how can we believe anything he told us? See, a lot of people just want to accept Jesus as a good man, or a wise teacher. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us he was the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again to prove power over death. He is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. You see, when Jesus calls our name, it confirms the resurrection. We had discussion about how we know when Jesus talks to us, when God is talking to us. And I thought about it as I was preparing this message. How do we know when Jesus calls our name? Well, I think Jesus calls our name through messages such as this, through our Bible studies, just in casual conversation with other Christians. We can feel that tugging in our heart, that longing for something that we're missing. I think back to before I was a Christian, I would hear people talk, and I would have a funny feeling, I thought. I was wondering what they knew that I didn't know, and could it possibly be true that Christ did rise from the dead? And that was the Spirit of God tugging at my heart. That was God calling my name. The second thing, it creates a new relationship. It's very interesting to me that when Christ rose from the dead, the very first person he chose to appear to was Mary. I don't think that's how I would have done it. Me and my humanness, I'm thinking, appear to Pilate, to the Pharisees and say, see, you couldn't contain me. My word was true. Or if it was just to one person, one of the disciples, to explain myself. But no, he chose to appear to Mary. I think he was trying to make a point. I know he was trying to make a point. He was saying that every person has worth, no matter how common, no matter what your background, you have worth in my eyes. He chose Mary to speak to. She was there. She was tore up because Jesus was gone. His body was gone. In John 15:15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, brought on by the resurrection, is one of a spiritual friendship. A father figure, a teacher, someone that dwells with us. See, Mary had a prior relationship with Jesus Christ, that of a follower, of a student. But when that all changed when the resurrection happened. And he was trying to explain that to her when he said, don't cling to me. He was trying to explain that the relationship had changed. No longer was a physical presence, but now she had a relationship that was going to exist for eternity. She had a spiritual relationship now, and she began to understand what Jesus' words meant. And that's what he's calling us to today when he calls our name, is that intimate relationship that only he can give us. That spiritual relationship as he speaks to us and guides us. When Jesus calls your name, he's confirming a relationship, the resurrection, and his desire to be with you. And the third thing, it calls for a response. When Jesus called Mary's name, she had to choose. She had a decision to make. She could have chosen to ignore Jesus. She thought it was just the gardener. At first, she didn't even recognize his voice. Even when she did, she could have chosen to ignore him. She could have chosen to doubt Jesus. She could have said to herself, Jesus is dead. I don't know who this man is. I don't believe that he could have risen from the dead. And we have a lot of that here around us today. People will admit who Jesus is, but they don't believe that he fulfilled the scriptures. She could have chosen to reject Jesus. Even if she believed he was really Jesus and he was alive, she could have just went on living her life just as it was before and continued on. But you see, Mary chose to embrace Jesus. She grabbed a hold of him. Everything at this point, everything that she knew, had come true. That Jesus was who he said he was, and it happened what he said was going to happen. His death and resurrection gives us opportunity. It gives us opportunity for a relationship that was not possible. And this morning we have choices that we have to make. We come together to celebrate the Easter Sunday, the resurrection day. You see, we can choose to ignore Jesus also. We can ignore him as he calls our name. We can continue with our lives just as it is. We can doubt Jesus. We can doubt what he did. We can reject Jesus. Or we can choose to embrace Jesus. I look around here this morning and I believe probably everyone in this room is a Christian. Why else would you be here this morning? But we need to understand that we can be a Christian, we can accept Christ, but we still don't embrace him. Jesus wants so much more from us than just to come to church and sit in a pew and hear a few words. He wants to have that relationship like he revealed himself to Mary. That close relationship, that understanding that he is resurrected. He is there desiring a personal relationship. Someone that we can turn to. Someone that we can cling to, hold on to. John 10:27-28, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're his forever. No one can take you away. But he desires more than just a relationship in name. He desires a relationship in worship, in caring, conversation, and following him. If we could all stand. We're going to close in a word of prayer, then we're going to have a song, and we'll go next door in a fellowship and have breakfast. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, the shedding of blood, Father, that we might come to you. The shedding of blood, have that relationship, the ability to come to you, Father, and pray and to talk. And Father, as we go from here and in fellowship, I just pray that you will bless this gathering, Father. You will bless those that prepared the food, Father, and you would bless it to our bodies that we might be strengthened so we could serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.